B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. It created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Our next guest, his head may be spinning today. There's a lot of stuff going on with the legal tampering period in the NFL where we're getting the notice of teams signing other players, and the Washington Redskins cashed in on Landon Collins on a monster deal. But the Eagles that earlier acquired Malik Jackson, and maybe DeSean Jackson comes this way for the latest on the NFL free agent signings and the Eagles. James Palmer, the NFL Network on the Comcast Business Hotline. James, how are we feeling today?
We're good, Mike. You're right, man. You know, I really am not happy about having two cell phones like 364 other days of the year, but today's the only time where everything kind of works out, having being that idiot that's got two cell phones going around himself, because today is kind of nuts. And you mentioned Landon Collins. I'm still trying to digest that one right now, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money for a safety, is it not?
It's a ton, and the funny part about it is, if you remember the safety market last season and how slow it went, and, you know, the money really wasn't there for safeties. A lot of people say the Eric Reed situation maybe had played a factor in that, you know, not going out and overpaying guys when Eric Reed, one of the better safeties around, was not, you know, employed. And then he goes and signs his extension right before everything picks up for free agency here, and now you're seeing the safety market be just completely different than it was a year ago. And we still haven't seen where Earl Thomas is going to go, or Tyrann Mathieu was offered, you know, about 9.5 a year from the Texans. He wants to stay there, but he's going to test the market. But the Landon Collins one, I mean, with 45 guaranteed through the first 3 years, is a wild play. And, you know, inside the division, there'll be some motivation there, but I think it's too much for a guy that has a couple holes in his game, but the age plays a part in it for him, being still on the younger side of things.
Yeah, it's 6-year, $84 million, and 45 guaranteed. All right, let's talk about what the Eagles did, and with the Malik Jackson thing, first of all. How do you see that? Was that guy's going to be a major deal? Now, they paid a lot for it, but that's a big help.
This is a guy, I've known Malik for a really long time, and I've known him really well. He was in Denver when they were what many people consider one of the greatest defenses of all time. And with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller on the outside, they got a lot of what they were able to accomplish in getting the quarterback because of what Malik Jackson was doing in the middle. And he is just, I'm thinking of what this defensive line is going to be like now that they brought Brandon Graham back with Fletcher Cox and Barnett, and you put Malik Jackson in there. I mean, the guy is dynamic against the run. You guys are going to love him because he's about as honest as you get as an individual. He's going to tell you exactly what he's thinking. If something's wrong in the locker room or something's wrong with how they played, he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. He speaks his mind, but he is still a really, really good football player. And I'm just thinking about, you know, with the Peters move and Brandon Brooks is getting his boot off for his Achilles, I think today, to me, the trenches are still where you win football games. And I think the Eagles are shaping up, you know, as they bring back Kelsey, shaping up offensive, defensive line. I think looking pretty dang good.
All right, let's talk about some skill players. Because today, DeSean Jackson says he wants Philly, or at least it's rumored that he wants Philly, and he's not going to go back to Tampa Bay. What are the chances that they go out and grab him? And what about the running back situation? Where are they going with that?
Yeah, the running back spot is one that, that's definitely a need for them. If they could go and if they could predict the future and knew they'd get a guy like Josh Jacobs in the draft, then you can kind of know where you stand there. But that's a spot that they're really going to need to find a need. And that's one of the things, how he's going to still kick the tires on everything that's around out there, even if it seems like a pipe dream like Lev Bell. But at the receiver spot with DeSean Jackson, I love that he's going out and more or less releasing himself from the Buccaneers before they've even officially done anything with him. He's doing his own, I guess, Antonio Brown type of thing. But I remember doing the game in week two down there. I did a lot of actually Bucs games early in the year last year. And I remember talking to Malcolm Jenkins where he was telling me, we're not concerned about Mike Evans. Our concern is DeSean Jackson. And you saw him go out right off the bat in that game and show why Malcolm was worried about DeSean. He still can play. And he didn't like playing with Winston. He liked playing with Fitzmore. It got him kind of irked a little bit over this last season. But, you know, the speed that he brings and the way he changes it for underneath stuff that I think Alshon and Ertz could, you know, definitely thrive in that spot to where he can go deep. I can see him being something that this is going to work out.
Do you think it's likely that he's going to be an Eagle?
I think I would say it's probably more likely than less likely.
Okay. Now, the Aguilar situation. That's a big number. What are they going to do there?
I think you got to find out what happens with Deshaun first. And then, you know, then I think you can figure out what you do with Nelson. Cause then I think, I don't know if you need everyone, right? I mean, I don't see it cause you have a tight end that is one of the best pass catchers really in football that gives you another added element to your receiving core that a lot of teams don't have. So I think that you got to see how the Deshaun Jackson thing falls to where you go with Nelson after that.
So if they sign Deshaun, Aguilar's gone, you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I mean, I really wouldn't be, just because I think you got to think about, you know, where they stand in terms of, I think the running back spot plays a part in it too. I mean, if they go out and find somebody if they have to pay for that spot, then maybe that plays a part into what they do with him as well.
Like Tevin Coleman, possibly.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if they go after Tevin Coleman, which some teams think he's going to be overpriced, that's still not, his market really hasn't been determined yet, but there's a couple teams think he's going to get a little higher paid than what he's probably worth. But the Eagles are in play in there to see, you know, what they do. But I think those two things with Deshaun Jackson at the running back spot could play a factor in what happens.
All right, last question's got to be the linebacker situation with the Hicks thing. Are they going to let him go and address the linebacker situation, free agency or the draft? What do you think is going to happen there?
And the hard part is you just look at these linebacker deals that are getting done today and you're going, man, if we're going to sign a linebacker in free agency, we're going to have to pony up. I mean, you look at the Trey Flowers deal, the Quan Alexander's coming off an ACL, and he goes out and gets paid. And, you know, I think you got to start going, wow, is this market climbing faster than we thought it was going to happen? You know, it's happening the same thing with the safeties. So then you got to start thinking, all right, is this something we have to find a way to address in the draft as well? Because I know Jordan's looking at those deals right now going, oh, this is what we're getting? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think he has to know too where he's at, that, you know, hometown discounts with these guys are things that rarely happen. So I think that's going to be a need. It's definitely a need, but now how you address it has changed after a couple of these early deals have kind of gone through.
All right. Do you like what they did with Jason Peters?
I do, you know, because this is the thing that sticks out to me is it's kind of you're delaying your need in a sense. You know, you still need to figure out what you're going to do for the future of your franchise at left tackle to protect your franchise quarterback. But I'm looking at it like he was coming off an ACL at the age he was at. He battled through injuries. He played in pretty much every game, but he had to come out so much. I think you are going to get a healthier Jason Peters with a full off season that involves, you know, not an ACL rehab. So I do think it changes and it frees them up some money the way they restructured it. So I do like the way they did it, but sometimes when you look at these things, you go, oh, great, you know, Jason Peters is back, but you're just delaying your long-term solution at the position at the same time.
Yep. All right, James, good stuff. I didn't even mention the Justin Coleman, the nickelback signing. The highest paid nickelback in league history at the Lions, Justin Coleman. That's hard to believe.
It's nuts. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of money to be thrown around, and we haven't even really heard much from the teams that have all the money in the universe, right? We haven't really heard much from the Jets or the Colts, who are sitting there with about $100 million. I mean, it is wild today, the numbers that are getting thrown around, for sure.
All right, but thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Have a good one, guys.
James Palmer, NFL Network. The Eagles, I think the Eagles did a good job today. And Deshaun Jackson, if that's imminent, and he thinks that both the running back situation and the Aguilar situation is dependent upon the Deshaun Jackson situation. So we'll see what they do if they wind up signing him with Aguilar and the running back. What are you feeling, Tyrod?
I think he's going now because he's a slot receiver. If he could play outside and have the same numbers, he actually would fit in pretty good. It's just in the slot with Ertz and Goddard, I just don't know how you pay him $9 million. That's like, what's your gut say? Well, Aguilar, what he's going to be, or does he still have room for growth?
You extend him, and you give him more money and over a period of years.
That's what you would do if you were Howie.
If they like him that much, I mean, I don't know. To me, he seems to be an expendable player. I don't know if he's that special that you would have to do that, but we'll see what they do. Let's go to Mark on the cell. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Mark?
I have to admit that your take on this Brett Brown is a little disappointing to me, because I actually think I can give you three reasons why the Sixers are going to lose to Milwaukee or Toronto. They're not going to be playing for the finals this year. And really, it's pretty much out of Brett Brown's control.
Out of Brett Brown's control?
Reason number one, they don't have enough talent. They don't have any shooting off the bench, unless you want to consider Mike Scott, you know, your off-the-bench scorer. But they don't have a small forward or shooting guard that you can rely on to come in and hit a three or be a threat to score 20. So there's that. Number two, Jimmy Butler, he's just not that good. I think the guy was – his reputation preceded his arrival. And when you see him, I mean, he is what he is. After all the games he's played so far, I think you can see what you got with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I disagree totally with that. But go ahead. Go ahead with your other one.
He's a 29-year-old.
Dude can play. All right.
He's a 29-year-old professional. You don't have to tell him, let me see you attack the rim. Let me see you take an open jump shot.
He's not doing that, but it's not because he can't. All right? Well, you got him like he's not that good. He's a good player.
He used to be good, but now I think what you see is what you get.
Yeah, I disagree. I think he's way deferring to the other players in this team for some reason.
A killer doesn't defer. A killer goes out and gets there.
I get that. That's confusing. That doesn't mean that he's not that good. That means you're agreeing with me that he hasn't shown the killer side, and I don't get why. He still has the skill to show the killer side.
It's there for the taking, and if he don't see that, something's wrong with him. But the third reason is Ben Simmons is an experiment at point guard. And I don't think you could play at the finals levels and championship levels with a point guard who's experimenting.
Yeah, I know. You're a Ben Simmons hater. You give me the same all the time on Ben Simmons.
Well, what I can say with Ben Simmons.
You give me the same thing.
On the fast break, this guy will come down and pull up at the free throw line 9 times out of 10 and look make a pass.
Yeah, I understand that. We are all aware of how Ben Simmons plays. But, you know, the focus is way too much on what Ben Simmons doesn't do rather than what he does do. And it just is. It's just silly now at this point. I get it. He makes silly mistakes. He gets caught up in the air. He drives in the traffic when there's nothing there. He takes funky little, throws up funky little right-hand shots where he's not balanced. I get it. He's not your conventional point guard. But what you saw when they got out on the break yesterday and in other games where he's flying and he's beating everybody and he gets to the basket, other point guards can't do that. All right? So what he doesn't do is balanced out by what he can do as far as other point guards go. Now, the bench question. You're right. If you look at the other teams in this conference, their bench, they can get offense off their bench. The Sixers really are limited in getting offense off the bench. But which means they're going to have to play their starters probably a lot more than other teams would. But if they play their starters against Toronto, if they can squeeze 35 minutes out of all their starters, they can win the series. Because their starters are better. Let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Ed?
Glad you're back safe.
Thanks, buddy.
Man, I'll tell you what.
So you're glad I didn't get killed by a baseball, a Larry Bell hit to me?
That's a BB.
Yeah.
That's a BB. I mean, you know, softball could be in the future, but that's a BB.
God, but what's up?
All right. Ben Simmons. Okay, having watched Magic his whole career, Ben Simmons gets up and down the court quicker than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's a little reckless, but he's a little young, too.
Yes.
And Jimmy Butler.
But we can't age him before the playoffs. Is he too young for the Sixers to beat the Raptors in the second round is what the question is.
No, they can beat that team.
Okay. I expect them to beat that team.
He's ascending. He's on the way up.
If they don't beat that team, the coach should go.
Yeah, I know. But I just don't, you want to get Jay right? Okay, that's fine. But, I think that they got a lot of talent. I don't think Jimmy Butler's shown me enough. On defense, he shows some stuff late.
Mm-hmm.
But they were hitting a lot of front of the rim yesterday. And I think I would run him, just like you said earlier about the first quarter. I got to see it.
Set some play. Get him off. Get the guy off. At this point, Brett Brown's got to get the guy off.
He's got to be a racer, so I got to see it. Yep. I got to know.
Get him off. Get him engaged early. Get him excited early. Get him to believe he's a go-to guy early. Maybe the game changes for him.
Absolutely. If he needs, if that'll give him some confidence, make him some shots, and hearing the people hoot and holler, certainly it hasn't hurt Tobias.
Yeah.
No, and the other thing there is D-Jack. Mm-hmm. I'd take him back in a second. because he takes the top off of the defense.
There's that taking the top off the defense term. It surfaced again.
It's true, though.
Oh, yeah, of course it's true. Yeah, I would welcome him back, too. Much more mature DeSean Jackson. I don't know if he's much more mature, first of all. Who knows?
The word
is, to be a diva.
Well, if he gets deep and he gets open, he'll get the ball. And now that Carson and Alshon have, you know, they squashed their death match. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, at the Sixers game, they made up.
Yeah.
And they don't hate each other anymore.
There you go.
Now he'll get the ball. Because,
mm-hmm.
they hate each other.
Not sign DeSean Jackson because he could be a diva. I can't. That's the defensive thinking of it. He could be disruptive. Well, that's not why you don't sign a guy. All right, let's get CJ and King of Prussia. CJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. CJ.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, CJ?
Hey, we've talked before. I'm a former Eagles cheerleader, and I've called in several times for
yes,
stories.
Yes, I remember you.
Okay, I have a Jaguar story.
Okay, go ahead.
After I finished cheering for the Eagles, I was fortunate enough to support myself professionally as a dancer,
uh-huh.
and I fell into magic. So I worked for a magician's assistant who had a jaguar by the name of Blackie. And up close, those cats are beautiful. To see the spots underneath the black, they're really beautiful.
Uh-huh.
So we have an illusion going on. He does his trick. He takes Blackie off stage with the lead. They get so far, and then Blackie is supposed to walk off by himself into the pen where I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So Cat goes, jumps out of the box, starts walking, and then he stops, and he's staring out in the audience. And I'm thinking, what is he looking at? I peek around the corner of the curtain, and here's a woman who has a toddler, maybe a year or two old, and she's bouncing the toddler on her lap, making the kid wave hands and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
And Blackie is fixed into this child.
No, don't tell me he ate the child.
This isn't good. So I'm calling Blackie. Blackie, come on, won't go. So I step out, I grab his lead, take him off stage, and I back into the pen. And now I'm standing there. The back of the pen's behind me. There's me, there's Blackie, and there's the door to get out. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I get out? The magician on stage notices what's going on. He comes off stage and he looks at me. He said, CJ, you cannot do that. He said, bring him in this way instead so you don't get in any trouble. Okay, fine. The next night, the same thing happens. I do the same thing. I bring him in. Point is, these cats are wild, and with whatever happened, even though he raised his, he always taught me that they still have their animal instinct.
Sure, they have their instinct. They're going to
attack. So whatever that woman may have done, it could have been a jerk reaction.
Uh-huh.
It could have been done something.
Yeah.
And that's why that cat.
Well, of course. It's still a jaguar attack, though.
It's an attack. I agree.
I thought this story was going in a completely different direction. I thought you were going to tell me that the jaguar ate the kid.
No, we're
all here fearing that that's where you're going with this.
Well, also in the show, there were two lion cubs that were in a pen in my room that I helped raise.
Uh-huh.
So they're in the pen. There's some dancers that come in the room. One of the dancers throws in a flip-flop, and the cat's in there playing with the flip-flop, and now it's time to leave. So I said, I'll go in the pen, and I'll get the flip-flop for you. I go in, I call the cat, her name's Malaysia, and I said, Malaysia, I need the flip-flop, and I go and get it. She turns around, and she swats at me,
uh-huh.
and her talon clips the bottom of my chin.
I
just told her that she can keep that flip flop.
First of all, are you insane trying to get that flip flop? Like, that flip flop is history. You know, first of all, it's a flip flop. There's a piece of gold. I'm not going in there.
Go in there with the lions.
With those claws.
Yeah, little violations. You know what I noticed in that story?
What's that?
Got a black cat and they're calling it Blackie. The hell's that about? That's why the jaguar got mad. You keep it. How many times you gonna call somebody Blackie before they say, you know what? Enough is enough. A little violation in that story. Black cat, you call it Blackie for years. Your little show.
Maybe Blackie was proud of his blackness.
Yeah, not that proud. Called Blackie.
How about they renamed him Black Man?
Nah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, if it's a black magic would have been good.
Black magic?
Yeah, it's good because you're doing the magic trick. It fits. It's a little on the nose.
Black magic.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. So that's not right. Calling the Black Hat Blackie.
No, I don't care for that. Not one bit.
All right. We're back at this. 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 4:30. It is time to get an update for our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Andrew Salchute is in for Natalie today. Andrew, what
already,
you got?
I'm already getting the tweets, man.
Are you?
Saying, you're not Natalie. I turned it off. Sorry. The question, which team is most on your mind today with the NFL tampering period beginning today? 66% say Eagles, and the Phillies and Sixers are both tied at 17%.
All right, there you go. Yes, Nat is off. For a while, now Booty's been dying to show this, so let's address it. She took video of me getting ground balls. Now I told you before the show that not before we went to Clearwater that Bo was going to hit me some ground balls. Now I'm thinking Bo's going to hit me normal ground balls. So I get there and word gets out that he's going to hit me ground balls, and so people are coming up to me within the organization and they're going, and you heard him, Tyrone. Yeah, Bo wants to wear you out, dude. He's been talking about wearing you out. So, all right, so now, baseball thing with me, I played as recently as 5 years ago, but since then I had back surgery, right, where baseball activity is, like, off limits. But I'm figuring I'll go out, take some ground balls, because it'll feel good. Now, if you're watching the video now, he hit me a couple easy ones. I had no warm-up at all. Right,
so
I get out there, and so he hit me a couple easy ones at first, and then he's hitting me. There's a difference between taking infield practice with somebody hitting fungos, or then a major league coach. A major league coach can hit what I call the two skimmers. Like they're able, their fungo work is so impressive that they can hit the low line drive, which is like about a foot off the ground, where it skims the grass and then skims the dirt. The two skimmer, boom boom.
Yeah.
And he starts hitting me that. And not only that, but the people that are watching him hit me ground balls, they don't know that it's me. So he goes up here and announces that he's hitting them to me. He goes, "That's Miss Nelly out there." So he gets one through my legs, and they go, "Boo!"
They start booing. Yeah, they just show. Booing. On TV, right, you can see them showing the crowd. Yeah, they started booing.
Right, crowd started booing. Right, so he goes to me. He hits the first go. He goes, "You're jabbing it." And I go, "I know I'm jabbing it. I'm jabbing it means that you're not low enough. You're not, your ground, your glove really should be in the ground." I'm stiff. Right. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. So I jab the first couple, and finally I was, you know, getting down. But when you jab, that's a chance. That's where the ball's going to go through your legs, because you're coming on top of the ball instead of underneath it. You always want to get the bottom end of the ball.
Now I was
I flipped over to second base, and he was hitting me a shortstop. I flipped over to second base. Natalie missed the best five I had, including like a bad hop ground ball that I cradled up here, boom, on a bad hop, and grabbed it and threw it through the dude out.
And he also was doing commentary. He was critiquing, "Oh, you're one hopping it over there."
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be at second base. I thought you were going to be at second base the whole time.
Yeah,
that was your native position.
I didn't warm up at all. So my throws to get to first base. I obviously don't have much in my left at all. In the wing.
So of course, why'd you go to shortstop and not to second base first? Were you a little cocky?
No. I thought it was easier for him to hit to that side of the infield. So that's where I went. And then when I flipped over to second, which was the more natural position, but Natalie wasn't rolling on that.
Yeah. Now, for people that don't realize, we saw Larry Bowen, Mr. Bowen, earlier when we got there.
Yeah.
He was telling everybody.
Oh, yeah.
He was telling everybody way before we were, "Oh, I'm going to hit Mr. Nelly. I'm going to wear him out." He was telling everybody.
"I'm going to wear you out tomorrow."
Telling Charlie Manuel.
Right. It's so different. Like ground ball. Like those guys, when they're hitting the major leaguers. They're infield practicing major leaguers. So their ability to hit those line drives that are going to turn into ground balls, that are hit, that's a major league hitter will hit that kind of ball.
He looked really comfortable hitting those. Yeah. He's like a science.
The major league guys are going to hit the ball hard in the infield. They're going to hit the two skimmers. So that's what those fungo guys hit to their fielders when they're taking infield. But come on, man. I'm just a dude doing a sports talk radio show.
He hit the same ones to you. He was hitting to the minor leaguers the day before.
Yes, he did.
The minor leaguer guys.
Yes, he did.
They were working on stuff.
He was two skimming me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Let's get back to the phone. Let's go to Tyrell in Delaware. Tyrell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyrell.
Hey, what's up,
Mike? What's going on, Tyrell?
Hey, nothing much. Listen, I want to talk about two things, right? I want to talk about the Malik Jackson signing. I think after all the moves that are made, that's going to be an underrated addition. But I think he'll bring that stout presence to the middle.
He's going
to
be great. Their starting line is great. The only thing I worry about now is the rotation.
But you know what? What I do see is, our trenches are starting to get old, and you know we're plugging and playing a little long in the two players, and we got to still draft these good players.
What trenches are you talking about?
So we know that left tackle is a position of need. I still will go into the draft thinking defensive tackle is a position of need because we're one play away for Fletcher Cox or Jackson getting hurt. And, you know, we don't really have anything behind those guys. And on the other side,
they do need one more defensive tackle. You're right, because probably not going to be back, right? I don't know what his story would be.
Right. So on the other side of the ball, you know, we had Deshaun Jackson, and when we also watched the disappearing act of Deshaun Jackson, mm-hmm. how he would, you know, catch a couple passes and then, you know, disappear for the rest of the game. I would say, you know, let's look in the way of bringing Golden Tate back. I mean,
no.
he's a proven commodity.
No, he's not. He's a slot receiver. You don't need that.
Listen, he wins in a play-doh.
Come on, man. He's a slot guy. You need somebody who's a speed guy at this point. You saw it. Golden Tate wasn't that impressive last year for them.
Okay, all right. So what Deshaun Jackson doesn't bring, right, is we all know in the playoffs the field shrinks, right? Everybody is
why is the field shrink in the playoffs? Why?
Well, because everybody's just as fast as you are. You're playing against better players.
I don't know where you're going with that, man.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a weird rationale. It's like in the NBA, the playoffs turns into a half-court game, and in the playoffs in the NFL, the field shrinks. I don't know where these adages come from. You know, times change. You know, but the field doesn't shrink. Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Yo, Mikey Miss.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, man, I got to tell you, that one, I was watching the TV feed, and that one you took through the six hole, man, that looked kind of bad.
Well, that's why I jabbed it. He hit me a skimmer, I jabbed it. You got to get the butt down low, but since I'm 100 years old with back surgery, it's a little tough, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, pal, but, you know, yeah, I got to thank Todd, man, because I don't know whether it was during his weekend show or whether he did it, you know, on your show, but He talked about how he liked my calls and he really, you know, enjoyed my calls. And I got to say, Todd, man, I appreciate that because Tasty Cake Dom actually pointed it out to me today. I was like, you know, he's like, yo, Tyrone gave you some credit, said he likes your calls. And I said, really?
Yeah, I don't feel the same way, by the way, so far.
Well, you know, let's talk some Sixers anyway,
right,
Mike.
Go ahead.
I love you too, by the way.
Yeah.
The Sixers, you know, look. I've been frustrated because, yes, while we bring in Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and all the other players, you know, at the end of the day, I told Tasty K. Dumb, I said, why do I get the feeling like this revolves around two guys, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid? Everybody else is interchangeable to the point that, you know, look, do you see Tobias Harris doing any of the things he did in L.A., doing his pick and rolls around with Boban? Like, I haven't seen any of that. And Jimmy Butler, you know, he was talking now about, you know, wanting to get more pick and rolls with Joe. That hasn't happened. No wonder these guys are half checked out. Mike, this guy is Brett Brown, if you do not get past the first round, you and Billy Lang, I will carry you on my back to the airport and kick you on the airplane.
They're not
going to
lose in the first round. All right? I mean, green money, they're not losing in the first round with the third seed. Second round is where they're going to play Toronto. Now, Toronto, right now, I would think is a better team. They're going to have home court advantage. And they've got guys off the bench that can actually score. So they've got a little edge there. But I'm thinking that the Sixers starting five is good enough to play enough minutes to beat that team in a 7-game series. And if they don't, I've lost the attachment to the coach. I'm sorry, they've got to beat Toronto in the second round. And I almost, like, I'm judging him like he's got to beat Milwaukee too, almost, for me. Because the point of adding all these players was to be together enough, to be good enough to beat those two teams that are ahead of you. So, I don't know. I guess I can't. I don't know. What would I do if they lost to seven and they lost a game seven in Milwaukee? Would I be able to bitch and moan? Probably not. Would I be happy? I don't know if I'd be happy, but Brett Brown would probably come back. If that were the case, I would say Brett Brown comes back. Anything short of that, they lose in five. No, I would think about changing.
Yeah, in that game seven scenario, Greek Freak may be the best player in that game. And as good as Embiid's been, and he's been fantastic. Greek Freak's been better this year. He's also a little bit further along in his development. If he's the best player in that game, I don't know how you could blame the coach on the road in a game seven. It'd be tough.
Yeah. It's funny because Ennis played well yesterday. I like what he played. I think they've got to settle on what they're going to do. I mean, if you're going to play Ennis, then play him now. Play him now as your guy. Instead of making this a competition where you're going to play Ennis one day and Simmons the next day. No, you got to settle on a guy. Unfortunately, you're going to break somebody's heart. But settle on a guy, I would settle on Ennis right now. He's got probably the better pedigree at this point.
Yeah, I would go my bench. I would only play eight. And my bench would be Ennis. You know the starting five. Ennis, TJ is mandatory. He has to play. And then my big would switch. Some days it might be Boban. Some days it might be Amir. It will never be my guy. He's not playing in the playoffs for me.
Jonah?
He's not playing.
Not
it's either, for me, it's Amir.
Oh,
or if a guy's kind of mobile. And if he's not kind of mobile, it's Boban. And those are my eight, and I'm running with those eight.
I can't believe you're bailing on Jonah.
I can't have him fouling out and giving the other team all those foul shots in a playoff game. I can't.
610-632-0975. There's one line that's open. So you want to grab it, please do. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're on NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.46, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, tonight at NBC Sports Philly. All right, so on our other NBC Sports Philly channel, the Phillies played the Toronto Blue Jays today and got waxed again by. Phillies only got four hits today, lost 8-2. A couple notable things here in the Phillies pitching line. Vinny Velasquez started the game, two innings, five hits, five runs, all earned. Two walks, struck out four. Rios came in, Beato came in, and then Jared Eichhoff, two innings pitched, three hits, three runs, three of them earned, struck out one, gave up two home runs today.
What's the breaking news?
What's the breaking news? Wow, what is...
Nick Foles is signing with the Jaguars.
Oh, hold on a second. I thought you were doing that because it was the breaking news that I was giving to the Phillies.
No.
No, according to Ian Rappaport, Nick Foles is signing with the Jaguars.
Well, did we expect that? Yes.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
All right, what's the money?
No details yet.
All right, Nick Foles, the biggest... that was a secret.
Not to be confused with the Cougars, but with the Jaguars.
They kept that from us. He was going to sign with the Jaguars. What a shock.
It's now official.
There's one team that wanted him.
It's now official. And he did not want to take $7 million just to be a backup.
Officially he's going to take some money.
Yeah, apparently it's over $20 million. We don't know.
$20 million a year?
Over, but we'll figure it out.
Okay.
There was the rumors were between $22 and $23 million per.
Okay. I thought you'd give me the breaking news thing because I was, derisively because I was giving you news on Vinny Velasquez and Jared Eichhoff.
Of course not.
Well, see, you tricked me.
Well, I'm sorry. I actually, never mind. I was going to say something nice about those guys, but I can't.
Blue Jays had a pitcher today named Beeks.
Beeks?
I haven't heard that since Trading Places. Mr. Beeks.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time.
Moving, the whore loses a kidney. Right? That was his line.
Yeah.
Let's go Frank and Philly. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Mike, thanks for taking my call. How you doing today?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Yeah. I said, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm doing fantastic. We just found out they Nick Foles signed 4 years, $88 million, $22 million a year.
Yeah, well, the kid deserves
it. Certainly deserves it. But I thought he wanted to stay here. But see, I just thought he wanted to stay here for $6 million, $7 million as a backup. So it disappoints me that he's a capitalist.
Yeah, well, I didn't want him to leave.
All right.
But it is what it is.
It is.
They got to go for the money.
Yeah.
But, Mike, here's what I wanted to. First of all, I was impressed with your taking ground balls from Larry Bird.
Oh, thank you.
How you feeling today?
I actually feel okay. I expected my arm to be tight. It's fine.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's fine.
I know. I wouldn't have even done what you did. I'm 63. You're not getting me out there taking ground balls. But I'll give you one tip for what you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You made it easy for Boa. Make it easy for Mike Missanelli next time. Go to second base.
Yeah, I'll go over there.
And the second thing, before we forget, I know it's a one day late. Happy birthday, Tyrone. He does a great job. So I just wanted to wish
your birthday
him a
today,
happy
Tyrone?
Birthday. Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday was your birthday? Oh, happy birthday, yeah. Ty.
Just wanted to wish him a happy birthday. Now, Mike, with the Sixers, with everybody's talking about Butler, you know, the coach, everything else. Okay, with all that being said, let's say all that washes out and we start tightening up in that area. Mm-hmm. I don't feel as though – I think our key, if everything else works out, is J.J. Redick. If J.J. Redick don't start shooting – I don't see his beating Toronto.
Yeah, you're right. He's in a slump. He's not been sharp.
And it's a long slump, Mike. He had one half with 19 points, and then in that game, the second half, he comes back with 7.
Yeah.
And you know, people knock Butler. When Butler's not shooting too good, he finds his way to the foul line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think he was 6%.
Yeah, no, I get you about J.J. Again, you're talking about older players now, older legs, and it's getting to the time of the season where it's a grind to finish out the season, so maybe I'll give him a maintenance day. Who can they do that against?
See, in a tough spot now tomorrow because I have it in front of me.
And Embiid not playing tomorrow against Cleveland, right?
No, so, Butler's not playing.
Butler's not playing. Embiid will play against
Cleveland.
I think
the plan is for Embiid to play.
Okay. All right, so Butler, well, they ought to get a maintenance day for J.J. coming up.
So the tough part, the next maintenance day they can give him, you got two choices. The first of a back-to-back against the Hornets before you play Boston. Or if you have him play through, that was on, that's the 19th of March.
Yeah.
But if he plays the 19th and the 20th, he can then get 5 straight days off because you sit him against the Hawks on that Saturday, and they don't play again until that Monday against Orlando. So you can give him from the March 20th to March 25th off by sitting him one day.
Give him five days. Give him Sacramento Friday night.
They might lose that game without him.
They won't lose that game at home. Revenge, they won't lose that game without him. Sacramento... That's maintenance day. That's my maintenance day for JJ.
And then you have him play against the Bucks on Sunday.
Yes.
Because he's got to play against them.
Yes, got to play against the Bucks. So give him Friday.
I would give him that 23rd. I would give him the 20th to 25th off.
You got to do it now. You got to give him maintenance day now. Jimmy needs one now. Give him one to Jimmy. He won a JJ this week.
Give it to him Friday. I can live with that.
All right, Alex in Fairfax, Virginia. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing, Mr.
What's going on, Alex? How you doing?
You're all right. So I hear all this talk about getting D-Jack back, but my question is why wouldn't we go after John Brown in that instance? If we have to re-sign or extend Al Gore or even release him just to get D-Jack, why not get the younger, better version of him in John Brown?
John Brown had kind of a comeback year last year. I think he had like 45 catches. I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. But you know, DeSean Jackson is a proven player. John Brown is not as proven as DeSean.
I just saw all the glimpses last year of him playing. I don't know why the Ravens even sat him at all at the end of the year. But on to the other thing is I'm really excited to finally be excited again about the Phils. Like, man, finally.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, but they're in spring training, they haven't gotten that whole team together yet, so they haven't scored any runs at all.
It'll come together.
I hope it will. Pitchers are always ahead of the hitters. Reese Hoskins said, sir. He said spring training's for pitchers, is what he said when he was on with us.
Yes, sir. He hit that one on the head. Well, and the last point that I had was about coaching that Brett Brown needs to go. when I was in high school, my junior year, I didn't perform that well.
They beat the Pacers yesterday to go into the third spot. Yeah, no credit. He gets none.
No credit.
Come on, man. You got to give him credit. They beat the Hickory Huskers yesterday. What did you think of those unis?
Hate them.
You like them?
No, and they don't make sense on the road at all. They should wear those home. Just because it's national TV, no one in Chicago was watching that game on national TV or Florida going, I want to buy that jersey. Now, that should be a home jersey. Why are you wearing that in Philadelphia?
They had the Motorola add on it, too. The Motorola thing going on.
With the old school. It doesn't fit at all.
Nike swoosh. I thought they were cool.
I
you just don't like the movie.
I hate that jersey.
You couldn't stand the fact that Hickory beat South Bend.
I don't love that.
You couldn't handle it.
No, Andrew got some more information on the Foles deal, too.
He does?
Yeah, $50 million of it is guaranteed, four-year 88.
$50 million guaranteed for Nick Foles. He cashed in. Good for Nick. Everybody's happy for Nick. $88 million.
I am actually happy for him. He won a Super Bowl. You should be able to get some money from that.
Nice job. All right, let's take a break. 5 o'clock hour. The precarious 5 o'clock hour is coming our way on radio and TV right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.